This morning we find ourselves in week number 5 of a 6-week series titled Kingdom Principles, and these principles are what Jesus would want us to live by and what our lives should look like. We find ourselves looking at the parable of the sower this morning, and if you brought your Bibles, and I certainly, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. We'll be looking at the first 9 verses. This is only one of a few parables found in all of the synoptic gospels, and those are the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And basically, it's a parable that Jesus used to introduce the rest of his parables. And this is one of the very few parables that Jesus explains in detail. No other parable in the scriptures that Jesus taught holds all of these distinctions, and it should really cause all of us looking at this parable to pause and to consider its meaning very carefully. Jesus had been teaching by the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds had grown to such a large size that Jesus got into a boat and he pushed a little way offshore to begin to teach. The slope of the land and the acoustics of the water, it created much like an amphitheater effect. And so therefore, everyone who was there could hear, and Jesus began to teach. His audience would have been a mix of the local population and those who had traveled from nearby villages to hear him teach on God and God's kingdom. So if you have your Bibles open, please follow along as I read the parable of the sower, beginning in chapter 13, verses 1, we will go all the way through verse 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat there. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds of the air came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they had not much soil, and immediately they sprung up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." The whole context and the central meaning of this parable is dealing with kingdom growth. And what it really means, and Jesus is trying to teach us, is how God will grow his kingdom. Largely, this message of the parable of the sower is how the message of the kingdom of God goes forth and how people respond to it. So my hope and my aim this morning is that all of us will find ourselves in this parable in one of the 4 types of soil. So as we begin to unpack this morning, know that all of us will fall in one of the 4 types of soil. Jesus himself is the sower. And people in Jesus' day, they had their own ideas of God and the Messiah and what would take place. The disciples had been given the truth about Jesus from God the Father. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells us that no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hid that shall not be made manifest, nor anything secret that shall not be made known and come to light. Take heed, then, how you hear, for to him who has, more will be given, and from him who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. This whole text out of the Gospel of Luke, it speaks to the proclamation of the message of Jesus' gospel after his resurrection. The lamp is the message of the gospel, and it won't be hidden anymore. The message of the gospel will be put on a stand for all those in the world to see its light. In the parable of the sower, is clearly about the message of Jesus Christ, his gospel, going out throughout the world and the natural world receiving his message of truth. As we begin to unpack the components of this parable, I'm going to break it down, and we're going to first look at the sower and what a sower did in Jesus' day, and we're going to briefly spend a moment on what the seed is, and then we're going to look at the 4 types of soil. And I'll give you 2 comparisons in the scripture of each type of soil, and then we're going to apply that this morning. In verse 3, Jesus says, "A sower went out to sow." As we know from previous parables, the first century Israel was largely an agricultural community. In our day, we're familiar with the grocery store. In Jesus' day, they would have been familiar with the wheat farmer who provided them with their daily bread. So this would have been very important to the hearers of Jesus' audience. The sowers in Jesus' day would have used a bag which was slung over their shoulder and filled with wheat, seed from the prior year's harvest. And the sower would have spread the seed by hand as he walked from one side of the field to the other. And Jesus' audience would have clicked right in with this because they would have seen this happen time and time again. Many times they would have witnessed this. The seed. We all need to know that the seed is God's word. And so Jesus is painting a picture of a sower going out and sowing God's word. We all need to understand that we all are sowers. We have influence. We have power and position in our lives. We have the ability to disseminate the influence into people's lives. So I want to challenge us all to visualize that not only is Jesus the main sower of the word, and he taught his disciples, and many times in our world we think about things happening and lasting for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years, but 2,000 years ago, Jesus taught his disciples, and they taught others, and they taught others, and here we are today. So any of us are sowers in life. And that brings a very huge challenge to all of us. And we could naturally stop and ask the question, what are we sowing? Because all of us are sowing something in this life. Either we're sowing good seed or we're sowing bad seed. And so when we see ourselves as in the footsteps of Jesus, following in his model, in his role, and doing what he has called us to do, to go into all the world and share the gospel, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you and I are all part of sowing God's word. Jesus is simply saying that the transforming power and the force of his messianic kingdom will proceed through the earth just like a sower spreads his seed, and it will be nothing more dramatic than that. That's exactly how it happens. That's exactly what happens, you know, with that. The seed, as I mentioned, it is the word of God. And this is vital that we get this, because in Romans 10, verse 17, we're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word, Jesus Christ. So it's by faith when we hear the word, and not just any word, but it's the words of Jesus Christ that our faith is built, that our faith is encouraged, our faith is exhorted. This is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about no matter what we do, that we surround it around God's word. Because if we surround it around anything else, we're misaligned and misguided, and our attempts and our aims are left powerless and impotent against the things of this world. So we've seen the sower. We've briefly touched on the word. Let's look at the first type of the soil. Along the path. In verse 4, we're told about the hard soil. And as he sowed, and in your bulletin, you will call the confiscated response. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. The fields in the first century were divided up into portions with paths running between them for access or for travelers to walk on. The image was that as the sower went along sowing the seed, some fell upon the path between the various portions of the field. And the paths would have been hard and packed ground, being trampled by feet or animals, which would have eventually led to the birds eating the seed. In verse 19, we are told the explanation of this by Jesus himself. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Two comparisons here for us. The first is between the hard path and those who reject the word of God. And then the second comparison is between the birds of the air and Satan or the evil one. You see, Jesus tells us that as soon as some hear the word of God, Satan comes along and takes away the word. It speaks of the power and influence of the devil over those who are in his sway. And we all need to understand what is going on around those who are not yet believers in Christ, the spiritual powers that influence them. You know, it's too often in our life, we look at the externals, we look at the actions, we look at the behaviors, we look at the dress code of what certain individuals do in our life. and we don't understand, and we even get to the point where we get frustrated why these individuals don't respond to God's word. And if we look beyond a little bit and we see that maybe their heart isn't ready to receive, or maybe even worse yet, maybe they haven't even had an opportunity to respond to God's word. Friends, when we begin to see that, it should do something in our prayer life. It should begin to cause us to pray for those who are rejecting the word of God or the message of God in such a manner that we will give them the opportunity through the influence of the Holy Spirit. The word says that no one comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And so we should be praying that God would soften their heart. God would provide them the opportunity. God would provide them the ability to hear God's word and not merely look at the externals or the behaviors or the dressing of what people do, say, or where they go. See the background. See the larger influence of what's happening here. Many times these individuals, they don't have a choice. They don't. It's not what they want to do. It's that they haven't been given an opportunity to respond to God's word. And because of that, they don't understand the word of God. The Apostle Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. He says, "And even if our gospel is veiled," meaning covered, "it is veiled only to those who are perishing," meaning those who are outside of a relationship with Christ. "In their case, the god of this world," the devil, "has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. He has caused them to be blind, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God." And this isn't this just the truth? And inadvertently, what we do is when we get frustrated at individuals for not doing what a Christian should do, and we don't see how the devil has influenced them, then we make things worse, and we become a bad witness and a bad influence in their hearts and minds and souls. This is a huge point of application for us in our world. We could just sit here all day and keep on applying this. So the challenge for all of us here is to see beyond, to see the bigger spiritual picture of what's happening in that person's life, and to acknowledge that may or may not, they might not have had the opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, a spiritual comprehension is needed to understand and accept those things that are spiritual and those things are of God. In verse 19, the word understand, it can also mean to grasp or to comprehend, which refers to Jesus' teaching to the heart, to living it, as opposed to just listening to it and not letting it go deeper. As I mentioned, all of us are in one of these types of soil. But I'll just share this, fear not, because we are not confined there. The transforming power of the Holy Spirit is able, through the power of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, to move us closer to that fertile soil. But let's move to the rocky soil. In verse 5, "Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they had not much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. In many of the fields where Jesus preached and where he lived in the Middle East, there were large slabs of limestone lying just beneath the surface. And there's much debate among the scholars whether or not the farmers would have plowed before they sowed the seed, or whether or not they just went out and sowed the seed before plowing. We really don't know. But in the summer months, the limestone soaked up all the heat of the sun and retained it. In autumn, when the sower went out and planted the seed, the rain came and watered the soil, and as the temperature dropped, the limestone beneath the soil would continue to release the heat into the soil, causing the seed to germinate and then to grow quickly. This growth was only temporary, since the root structure of the plant, and when the winter thaw came, the plants could never grow the necessary roots to sustain the plant, and this caused them to wilt and to die." Jesus explains this in verse 20 and 21, and he says, "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." The first comparison here is between the rocky soil and those in the church. And yes, I said those in the church. It's between the rocky soil and those in the church with shallow belief. It's the emotionality, the superficialness. It's just the casual nature of receiving exactly the gospel. Their quick growth relates to the initial joy and excitement of the new believers. The second comparison is between the rocks and the things inside the hearts of those with shallow belief. These things in our heart, in the heart of a person, can prevent them from growing in faith and growing roots in the gospel to sustain them. It's primarily a lack of submission to the gospel, to the Lord, and to his word in their lives. And then when the trials come, as they always will, these individuals will be found wanting. The third type of soil is the seed, or the weedy soil. In verse 7, other seeds fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. See, in any farmer, they'll tell you that competition from weeds will choke out all good plants. But I want us to notice that this plant, in the weedy soil, it has all the necessary elements needed to grow. It has fertile soil, it has water, it has depth of root structure. It's not what this soil lacks which causes the problem, but it's what it has in addition that poses the issue. The issue is that the weeds compete for the good nutrients and light. The weeds will eventually take away the strength of the wheat, and they will grow at a faster rate. If steps aren't taken, then continually the wheat will be choked out. Jesus explains this in verse 22. He says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The two comparisons here. The first is the weeds correspond to the worries of life, the deception, pleasure, and riches, and desires for things other than from God. And all these things work together to keep an otherwise healthy plant from fully realizing its potential. And the second is those believers who receive the gospel and accept it, yet they get consumed with life. The worries of the world are anything which causes us to lose focus upon God's provision for us. These can include work and family, money, or anything else which distracts. And if you notice, many of those are inherently good. Many of those things, work and family and health and things like that, anything, they're inherently good. But if they begin to distract, basically, it's no good at that point. A biblical good example of this would have been Martha in the story of Mary and Martha. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha was scurrying around, so consumed and so troubled over creating and preparing, and she missed the creator of the universe, the Lord of the universe, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, sitting in her living room. See, it boils down to competition between our allegiance to Jesus and those cares of life. What's going to captivate our time? What's going to capture our energy, our effort? The issue is not with how much you have, but it's with the focus of your life. And so we find ourselves at the good soil. In verse 8, Jesus says, other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You see, this is the purpose of the sower. Somebody doesn't go out and sow unless they expect a bountiful crop. Jesus gives specific figures for returns on what was sown, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And it refers to the amount of grain harvested based on how much was sown. Jesus even states that the spiritual harvest can be 100 times. And he explains this in verse 23. He says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. The first comparison here is the good soil represents those with a noble and good heart. These are people who understand the word of God. They take it, they retain it, they persevere and preserve in their faith. They truly are disciples of Jesus Christ. The second comparison is the fruit, and it's in the direction to which everything is heading. Jesus told us in John 15, verse 8, he said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So bearing fruit is the direction that everything in the kingdom of God is heading. Fruit comes from a transformed heart, transformed by the power and the ability of the Holy Spirit, and fruit is how the kingdom of God is spread. Jesus ends this parable in verse 9. He says, "He who has ears, let him hear." What are ears? What is he saying here? Ears references those who listen and obey God from their hearts. And since they listen and obey, they have ears to hear. And those who don't listen and who don't obey have literally stopped up on their own ears. It's the individual's responsibility to recognize Jesus. Their own unrealistic expectations and sinful rejections are signals they cannot hear. You see, hearing is about taking the words of Christ and taking them into our life. You know, the prophet Ezekiel, "Eat this scroll," and he ingested it. And sometimes we read those things and we think, how could a prophet eat the scroll? And literally, that is exactly what we are called to do, not literally eat the Bible, but to ingest it in our very being, to internalize it, and to take in the word of Christ. Hearing is about understanding the words of Christ, not just taking it in, but understanding it and applying it in our life so that we will bear fruit for the glory of God and only for his glory. And hearing is about truly bearing fruit. So to apply all this, I've thrown out an awful lot here this morning. All of us, every single one of us, are in one of these four types of soil. All of us are sowers. When we teach, when we are a role model, when we're an example, when we hold a door for someone, when we smile at someone, wishing them to have a good day, all of us are sowing something. And oftentimes what we sow is in direct connection and direct correlation with the status of our heart. Have you ever noticed that? That those individuals who have a hard heart, they sow things that are very difficult, and they sow things that are absolutely just hard to take. Those individuals that have good soil for their heart, they sow the things that are life-giving. They sow the things that are absolutely a breath of fresh air. So don't miss that. What you're sowing is in direct connection to the status of your heart. And the status of your heart will often and many times tell you exactly what your life will sow. But don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, because none of us are confined to the status of the soil of our heart. So to ask ourselves, what kind of soil am I? It doesn't matter what type of soil you are, because of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. It's a continuum. If you find yourself in good soil, you better walk circumspectly. You better walk and analyze exactly everything you do, because it's so easy to slip down to become weedy and then rocky and then become hard. If you find yourself in the hard soil, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit can move you into the rocky soil, into the weedy soil, and then ultimately to the good soil. Our hearts are either going to be hardened, or they're going to be made more fertile by the Holy Spirit's power and his transforming grace. And which soil are we? Our hearts can be changed to the good soil if we submit to the Lord's infusion. And yes, I said his infusion, because he needs to infuse all of us with his Holy Spirit. So if you find yourself in the hard soil, when we're ministering to those who exhibit a hardened heart, unresponsive to the word of God, our first instinct should be to pray for those people, since we now know that they need to be free of the influence of the evil one in their life. Start on your knees. Don't start by talking. Don't start by picking. Start by getting on your knees and praying for those individuals. And friends, you will have more power and more effect in their lives if you do that. If you find yourselves in the rocky soil, rocks beneath our surface of life can be family and friends, trials and work, and difficulties that arise, and the disciplines we have incorporated into our daily lives will carry us through. What do you need to do? You need to read the scriptures daily. You need to pray daily. You need to fellowship with other believers to exhort you to go forward in your journey with Christ. If you find yourself in the weedy soil, we need to understand that Christians can't grow because the weeds of life have stolen all the nutrition. We have to become addicted to technology in our life, addicted to busyness, materialism. We all want bigger, faster, better things. And what do? We better assess our heart, and we better slow down. And we better sit, as Mary did, at the feet of Christ. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." If you find yourself in the good soil, keep vigilant with respect to your heart. The scripture says, guard your heart, for out of it are the wellsprings of life. Everything that life consists come out of our heart. So you better keep your heart vigilantly and with respect and honor to the loving God. And give yourself to the Lord each day, allowing him to work in your heart to remain good soil. And cultivate your heart so that you can hear God's whisper. And yes, I said God's whisper. It's not the loud things of God that you want to hear. It's his soft, still, small voice that we need to be sensitive to. God is doing some tremendous things here at Trinity. And I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what condition your heart is in. I can't gauge that. I have no ability or knowledge to even know that. Only God judges the heart. God is the one who knows. But may we all introspect. May we all analyze each and every single one of our own hearts. And may we take the challenge and allow the infusion of God's Holy Spirit to move us, to transform us closer to that fertile soil so that we may bear fruit for the glory of God. We may bear fruit and expand and take our part and do what God's asking us to do in expanding his kingdom for his glory. Because friends, that's the mission of the church, is to go into all the world, make disciples, preaching the gospel and the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious God, we humbly come before you, Lord, to thank you for your word. We thank you for your challenge, the challenge of our perception of others that we may not understand, the perception of those who are under the sway and the influence of the evil one. Lord, help us to have our first instinct to be bowing our heads for them, to speak to you so that you can influence them, so that you can soften their heart and open their minds. And Father, wherever we may find ourselves in the soils, if our heart is rocky, if it's weedy, or if it's good soil, Father, if it's hard soil, Lord, we just pray that you would send your Holy Spirit, that we would be open and willing and we would receive it well, that we would give you free rein in our hearts, minds, souls, and in our entire being, that you might flow through us, that we might walk with you in our journey with you, Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this challenge. Help us to live out your word. Help us to ingest it. Help us to take it all in and help us to seek you each and every day. Be with my friends, Father. Bless them, I pray. Uplift them. Give them your comfort, your peace, and your joy. May you flood your soul with your love. Father, we thank you and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.